I am so thrilled today to be with you again. Thank you so much for all your well wishes and your Christmas greetings and cards and all of those things. Debbie and I are honored to be able to serve you during this transition period. If you brought your Bible, and I hope you did, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. One verse today. Message will be shortened a bit so that we can all depart and go be with our families the rest of the day. And it's going to be an exciting rest of the day. But today I want to talk to you about, what do you see in that manger? And this whole series that we've been discussing different ideas and different approaches over the last 3 or 4 weeks now of this whole season of called Real Christmas, Survive or Celebrate. As you remember, I launched this by thinking, asking you a question, which one of you camps are you in? Are you surviving Christmas or are you actually celebrating Christmas? You know, I choose to celebrate, although sometimes I feel like I'm in survival mode oftentimes. And so today we want to wrap it up. And then we'll begin a brand new series starting next month. Next Sunday will be the brand new year, actually, January 1st. And so we're excited about that. So what do you see in that? And I think we can look at this one verse and we can dissect what we all see when we look at that manger scene. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 9, "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, and Prince of Peace." And the Bible tells us, "And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no room for him in the inn." That is real Christmas. Let's pray. Father, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight today. Lord, I pray that we grasp your glory today. We grasp what that manger represents today. And we thank you so much for this season. We thank you that we can celebrate your birth. And Father, I just thank you so much for a church that makes a big emphasis on celebrating you, not just during this time of year, but 365 days a year we celebrate you. And Father, thank you so much for this great crowd that's here this morning. And we give you all the glory. Now, Father, do something in our lives in this place today. Remove any obstacles standing in the way from us actually hearing and understanding you today and grasping who you are in our lives. And Father, I pray that we do leave this place completely different than when we came. And we give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church said, amen. It is known that I use personal illustrations oftentimes to introduce a message or interweave it inside the message. I do that because it's personal, and it also, I think, it ties together. And one preaching professor of mine told me, he said, "Dan, that's just who you are. You like using personal illustrations." My mom and dad are both in heaven. They're celebrating at the feet of their Lord right now. And so they're both in heaven. But my mom was an interesting person. My mom was crippled with rheumatoid arthritis for the better part of her life. I think she was diagnosed in her mid-20s, and she struggled with rheumatoid arthritis to the point of she became a bionic woman. She had more bionic parts than real parts, is what we used to say, and we wouldn't let her fly because it always sent off all the signals and everything because of all the steel and metal and titanium that she had. And she had a fused arm, a fused ankles, and she had a walker, and her hands had gotten so crippled up like that. But my mom was an artist. My mom was a gifted artist. Now, I'm going to date myself a little bit because I barely remember it, but many of you do remember that when you would open up the Sunday newspaper, the Atlanta Constitution, or where I'm from, the Birmingham News was the big paper in the state of Alabama, you would open it up and look at the advertisements were not in vivid color, not in they were black and white, and they were not photo prints. They were not pictures of advertisements of dresses and suits and all the things that you go to the department store to buy. They called them sketch arts of dresses. And so my mom was a sketch artist for the Birmingham News, and she drew the women's dresses and how it got the women to the store to buy them, over looking at a black and white sketch. And then I started thinking about how dumb is that? Women are going to go buy what whether it's black and white, doesn't matter. They're going to go to the store anyway, right? And so it started as a sketch drawing. My mom was a sketch artist for the Birmingham News, and she didn't have a formal education, an art degree from any university. She just loved to draw, and she just refined her skill and got better and better and better. And then she was employed on a contractual basis with the news to draw these sketch art drawings of ladies' dresses from the major department stores in Birmingham, Alabama area. And so after her hands got to where she couldn't draw, she started doing other things. And then she got into sculpting and doing pottery and things of those natures. And so my mom got so good at that, she really fell in love with that part of art that she convinced my dad, mom's pastor, which was my pastor growing up. She walked into his office one day and says, "I believe beyond a shadow of doubt, you need to give up one of those Sunday school classrooms that we're not using on a regular basis and let me develop that into a crafting room." And so she took, John, a Sunday school room and stole it from the building, from the church, from the Sunday school department, and said, "We're going to make this into a crafting room." Now, those of you that are art people, you understand what I'm talking about, a crafting room. There was long, high tables for the people to come, and she developed a craft ministry at the church, reaching out to different people in the community to bring them in to teach them how to do these things. And then she went to my dad and she said, "Pat, you're going to pay for all the supplies that are going to go into the crafting room." So she started out with the top tables and all the clay and all those kinds of things. And so I don't know a whole lot about that, but she started developing these figurines, and she built manger scenes was the first ones that she ever did. And so to do that, you do the clay work and you got all the wheels and all that kind of stuff, and you teach and you got the little sculpting tools and all that. But then you have to have what is called a kiln to heat those up, to firm up that clay. And so my dad had to buy a kiln to place in there and then have it rewired the building so that it would take that voltage to go into that room. And so my mom developed, and when she died, she had about 40 people coming to crafting classes at the church, ministering to the community and making these figurines. We still have one of the original manger scenes that my mom made. She made that by her crippled hands, and she formed that manger scene, and she painted it with little paint brushes and all that things. Now, one of the things that my mom did after so many years of that manger scene, little Jesus was laying in the manger. We kept taking him out and playing with him, and so she decided, that's not going to happen. We're not going to do that. So she super glued him into the manger scene. Now, folks, let me tell you something. We know that Jesus is not in that manger, right? Nor is he on the cross that we see oftentimes depicted of him still hanging on the cross. He is no longer there. He is in glory today, preparing a place for us. What do you see in those mangers that you look at through the season? What is it? My prayer for us today is because that God, we chose to be here, is that we walk away from here with more strength, with more hope and more encouragement, and feel more loved than ever before. That is my prayer today. When Jesus was born, he was given a name like no other name. The angel said, "You shall call his name Jesus," which means actually salvation. It means God wants to rescue us from the worst of life to give us the best of life. That's exactly what he came to do. For it is he who came to save his people from their sins. But when you really look in those names, interesting a name about his name, he received his name 700 years prior to him actually being born in that manger, in that stable. So we're going to focus on two of those names that we saw in the text today. Today, we're going to focus on Mighty God and Eternal Father. I think there are four things that we need to look at when we see those two names. We could look at all four names and we could develop something for sure out of each one of those. Beyond a shadow of doubt, there's a lot to all of those names. But I want us to look, for today's sake, I want us to look at two of those names, Mighty God and Eternal Father. Four things that Jesus Christ wants to offer us today. He wants to offer us mighty. You see, when I look in that manger, I don't just see that little baby Jesus there or where he once was. When I look in that manger, I see the power that is in that manger. I see the power. Now, mighty means strength in battle. It means prevailing over the toughest of circumstances. That's the kind of power that God wants to give into our lives. The greatest power that ever comes into the world is in that manger. A new strength was born into the world at Christmas time. A new strength for our lives was born that day. A new strength to win the toughest of battles that we face, regardless of physical or emotional or materialistic battles that we face each and every day. The strength, the power was born in that manger that day. So here's the question. What is the toughest battle that you're facing currently? What is the toughest battle that you're walking through today? Many of us are in this room, are struggling physically. I have close personal friends, the pastor for global missions at my church, Jonathan Bean, is faced with brain cancer, stage 4 right now, going through heavy chemotherapy, heavy radiation during this Christmas season. He's only 41 years old, and he's got small children, and he's facing some of the most difficult, and some of us in this room are faced with tough situations today. The angel said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High God will cover you. Luke chapter 1, verse 35. With God's power working in us, God can do much, much more than we ever ask or imagine. Ephesians chapter 3, you know the words. He can help us overcome any obstacle of life. Colossians chapter 1, verse 11 says, God will strengthen you with his own great power so that you will not give up when trouble comes, but you will be patient. So that begs the question today, what is the toughest of battles that you're facing today? You see, I believe if we look at that manger that is empty today, we see that the replacement of that manger is Jesus Christ, and that replacement is the power that he dwells in us. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon me, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the remotest part of the earth. Dear brothers and sisters, when you look at that manger one last time this Christmas season, would you look in there and you see that, not that figurine that's been super glued into that manger, but would you look and see the power that lies within that manger? So I've given you a statement in this principle, and the statement is, this Christmas I need what? So you fill that blank in yourself. I don't have an answer for you. I know what Dan and Debbie need. We have decisions that need to be made after the first of the year going forward in the ministry that God has entrusted us with over 34 years now. What is next? What is the second half of the ministry that we have been entrusted to? So what is it you need? See the power in that manger, mighty power. You see, the second part of that name is Mighty God. When I look in there, not only do I see the power, but I see the glory in that manger. Mom, yes, had glued that Jesus to the crib, but it kept breaking every so often. So therefore, she put the new super glue into there. And I kept saying, that's not right. Every time I see that, that's not right. We know that her manger, it was there to keep him there so that it would be there for the next season when she put that out. So what do we need when we see in that manger? We need to see his glory. The glory of God came into this world at Christmas. God says, I'm going to bust out of every box you try to put me in. Every time I see one of those mangers with Jesus in there, I'm sure in my mind, he said, I want to bust out of the boxes that you try to put us in. You see, oftentimes we want to compartmentalize Jesus. We want to put him into our own little box and only take him out when we need him for certain things in our lives. So we see glory in that manger. Psalmist 19, verse 1, it sees the big stars, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, the New Living Bible translation says this, God's sun shines out with God's glory, and all God's sun is and does marks him as God. When you really want to see how big God is, go out on a clear night and look at those beautiful stars, how he has sprinkled them all around the world. And then look at even something more personal. Look at your thumbprint. Now, I don't have this on my phone, but some of you have the latest and greatest technology in your phone where all you have to do is just put your thumbprint and it opens it up. I don't have that in mine yet. I'm still about four versions behind. You know, I always stay about three or four versions behind. And so when I come in with a new phone, my son always goes, yeah, really? That's about four versions behind, Dad. But anyway, you know, that thumbprint phone, now you can open up your phone. It identifies you. There's no one with your thumbprint. You have a one and only thumbprint. That's how big God's glory is. How in the world could you fit a little baby into that? It's like trying to fit the Atlantic Ocean into a thimble. Listen to what Philippians chapter 2, he humbled himself even to the point of death. He who was a creator became the creature. He who was eternal allowed himself to be bound by time. He whom the heavens can't contain, his enclosed is in a mother's womb. He who is clothed in majesty was born in a cattle trough. He who was the sovereign God became dependent on human man, a woman for his food and clothing. He who was spoken whole worlds and galaxies into existence had to depend on the baby Christ to communicate. The God of the universe became a baby, even to the point at one point in time, the point of death, even a death on the cross. So brothers and sisters, today when you look at that manger, look at mighty God, the power in that manger, but look at mighty God, the glory of the universe in that manger. When I think of God's glory, I recognize the greatness of what God wants to do in my life. That just gives me just a big old wow. You see, I believe that God has the greatest days ahead of us. We can't do anything about what was behind us, but we can surrender to his lordship and let him guide us through the greatest days ahead of us, regardless of what that might be. Every moment that God gives us, he gives us for a purpose and a reason. And so we can see his glory in that manger. This Christmas, I need a bigger perspective on what? I need a bigger perspective. I've been asking the Lord for the last several weeks in my own personal time. And I told Deb this morning this. I said, I've been asking the Lord for the biggest year ever in our life. I have no idea what that might be. I'm not talking about financial. I'm not talking about materialistic. I want to see more of God's glory operate through the ministries he's given us and ever before. And whatever that means to get me completely out of the way for sure so that he may receive all the praise and all the glory. I want to see a bigger perspective of God's glory. And so not only do I see mighty God, we see the second, third name, Eternal Father. When I see in that manger, eternal, I see the hope that's in that manger. I don't know if you're out and about during the Christmas season and seeing many people that are just hopeless. They seem to be hopeless. They seem to be, life is at the end of the rope for them. They seem hopeless. When it comes to hope, we have our ideas that makes up hope. Many of us think that it's got to be a financial gift that will help us through the hope. Here are some things that we hope in as humans here on planet Earth. We hope that we win the lottery. I saw Megaball is big this year. Yeah, that Powerball thing, whatever that is, that's over 50-something million dollars. Man, if I could just win the lottery. We hope in that, right? There's a lot of people that feel like if they could win the lottery, everything's okay. Folks, let me tell you something. It's not money. It's not the lottery. Oh, the stock market. Now, that's it's up right now, been down some, up. Oh, we got a new election coming. Well, it's back down a little bit. We have these different ideas and different perspectives. The lottery, the market, the money. My career, if my career got on track, that's what I'm hoping for, my career to get on track. Here's another one that I think is a foolish hope, politics. You know, if we could just get the right people in office up there, you know, get the right things going on. Let me tell you something, the right people need to be guided by the right person, and that's King Jesus. Amen? We hope for so many things. Hope came into the world at Christmas. Not wishing hope happens, but hope happened at Christmas. And sometimes when the materialisticness of the Christmas season has arrived and all the glitz and glitter and the tinsel and all the lights and all the trees and all the gift wrappings and all the billions upon billions of dollars of giving and swapping of gifts, and I think it's wonderful to do some of that. But folks, sometimes we replace all of that. We replace the real hope in Jesus, the real hope to this world, the real hope. The real gift that keeps on giving. It says it can be certainly in our lives. There's a promise of it. A week ago, I think I said this, and I went back and did my research again to make sure that I was correct, just to make sure there's over 7,000 promises in the Word of God. 7,000 promises for us, not hopes, but promises. We see the hope in that manger. The New Century Version translation, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20 says, yes to all of God's promises in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 5, verse 3 and 4 says, we also have joy with our troubles because we know that these troubles produce patience, and patience produce character, and character produces hope. Romans chapter 15, verse 4, the scriptures give us patience and encouragement so that we can have hope. God can take the worst of the things that are on in our lives and make us the best of things in our lives. He can take the things that have been thrown at us and he can throw them away for us. God can take the worst of life that is thrown at us and he can work it for the good, for his glory. You see the hope in that manger. We see glory in that manger. We see power in that manger. And so the statement for us today, this Christmas season, I need to trust that what? I need to trust that hope. Not only do we see eternal, but we see the second phrase, the second part of his name, Eternal Father. You see, not only do we see power in that manger, not only do we see glory in that manger, not only do we see hope in that manger, but we see love that's in the manger. His love for me. But God demonstrated his own love towards me, and while we were sinners, Christ Jesus, that baby that was born in that manger, died for me. No greater love is that, right? No greater love than one lay down his life for his friends. Dear brothers and sisters, we all throw that word love around, don't we? During this time of season, oh, I just love you so much. How many times have you said it? Just think with me just for a second. In the last 48 hours, how many times have you told somebody you love them? You tell it, we just say it. And a lot of times we do really, sometimes really mean it. Sometimes we just say it because it's the thing to say, right? But you see, we can see no greater love than when you look in that manger. And you look and see what Christ did for us. And it all began on that day. That day we celebrate. The love came into that world. We see the love in that manger. Every good love is based on God's great love. His love is higher than that. It is a sacrificial, self-giving love. God loves us. The fact of the matter that John 3:16 is recorded in Scripture for us, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. He declares that. Romans chapter 8 verse 39 says, nothing in all creation shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. My brothers and sisters, today at this Christmas day, we see mighty God, eternal Father. We see power in that manger. We see glory in that manger. We see hope in that manger. But we see and feel and can know his love that was in that manger. A few years ago, I was invited at the end of Christmas season. The day after Christmas, I flew to South Florida. I know we have a lady here from South Florida down in Miami. She's visiting family. We're glad she's here. And I was flew down to Fort Lauderdale to speak to a group of college students. And it was a college retreat. And so in part of the retreat, the college pastor of this church, he rented one of those party type boats that goes up the intercoastal waterway. And on the last night, we had the event. It was not but about 75 to 100 kids on this retreat. On the last night of this event, he had us all on that party boat, and he fed us, and it was just a great time. But the captain of that party boat, we were going up the intercoastal waterway, and so we kind of had to move way over to one side to let a bigger party boat go by. Now, our party boat had no alcohol in it. We were just enjoying life and had a great food and that kind of stuff. And I was teaching in the room there on the boat, and it was fun and that kind of stuff. But the boat that was coming south down the coastal waterway, they were having some spirits for sure. I mean, an abundance of spirits looking at them. They were partying and having a big time, and that boat was all decorated, had Christmas lights all over it, and it was blaring out Christmas songs and all that kind of stuff. And then I noticed something that I had never seen before in my life. Behind that huge party boat, went behind it, there was a rope tied to the back of that boat, and there was a little dinghy back there that had some lights on it, and it had a figurine. And I started looking closely to it, and as it went by, it was one of those figurines of what we think Jesus might have looked like. And here was this huge party boat having all their big festivities. And in the little dinghy was behind that boat was a little boat bringing Jesus up from the rear. I started thinking about that. That's how we do, don't we? When we get into times of trouble sometimes, we say, well, I want to go over to the glass where it says, break this glass in case of an emergency and pull the handle down to get the fire department here. And so what we do when we're in tough times, what we want to do is go over and break the glass and say, come on out, Jesus, we're in trouble now. We need you to help us along the way. Brothers and sisters, we don't need to break the glass to invite Jesus in. He's bigger than that, amen? He is eternal Father. He is mighty God. He is wonderful Counselor. He is Prince of Peace. And he is Lord Jesus Christ of the universe. You can stay behind the glass, some of us want to say, and when we need you, we'll call you out. You see, this Christmas, I need love like never before. For unto us will be born to us, a son will be given, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. Brothers and sisters, let's take Jesus out of the dinghy of our lives, and let's put him in the big yacht where he belongs. At the forefront of every aspect of our lives. Why? Because he's mighty, mighty God, eternal Father, Prince of Peace, and he can be our wonderful counselor for guiding us every step of the way. That's what real Christmas is all about. So let's celebrate that.